Good evening, afternoon. It's afternoon. Amen. Amen. Before I begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you once again. Father, glad that you are my Father and I'm able to come to your throne of grace. Boldly, but Father, I come humbly because I know who you are, compared to who I am. You are my Father. You are my Savior. You are my keeper. Father, I love you. I thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. Father, I thank you, Father, for your word. Father, that you preserve for us. Father, you put your word above your name. The word is precious. Father, your word. Not only saved us, but your word help us, your word guide us, your word direct us, your word teach us. But also, Father, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the word also convict us of sin. So, Father, bless now in this time. Again, as we get together in fellowship one with another, truly, Father, we fellowship with you and your Son, Jesus Christ. For I say and ask these things in his name. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1. I'm going to be talking about two things that I'm going to be talking about, which encompass a lot of things. I'm going to be talking about church and the world that we live in. You notice, I hope you notice that this world is in trouble. There's a lot of I say discombobulation that's going on in this world. It's bad in this world that we are in. But the Bible tells us not to fear because we know Jesus Christ overcome the world. But also, I think more important than that is the church. Supposed to be the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The church has detour, or the church has almost as they are being guided and directed by a different force than the Holy Spirit that God gives to those who name him their sons and daughters. And the reason why, as we read Genesis chapter 1, we only go read Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. We only go read the first line of verse 1, not the first line, but a phrase. And the reason I picked this phrase is because the word of God is being tread upon. The word of God is being disregarded. The word of God is taking now the back seat of. We know the world doesn't like the word of God, but it's something is wrong when the churches, as they would say, turn their deaf ears to the word of God, throw the word of God behind their back. The church is saying, as we know, the word of God was attacked way back in Genesis. The word of God was attacked physically in the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it says, I'm not going to read all of Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read this phrase that I underline as you read in Genesis chapter 3, the last, I wouldn't call it even a paragraph. It's only four words. It's only four words. And it says, yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. And if you want to title this, you can title this, yes, God has said. You see, yea, hath God says. You wonder when you listen to people and when you talk to people, supposed to be Christian, supposed to be wiser and smarter than you when it comes to this book, the Bible. I'm talking about the churches now. I'm talking about these people who, again, I don't know because I'm not God. I can't look in their heart. Who say they are Christians. But you don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. I'm in Hebrew chapter 13. The Bible says in verse 25, I'm in Hebrew 13:25. The Bible says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Refuse not him that speaketh. Listen to and be obedient to him that speaketh. And again, the church is in a mess. Churches are splitting. The reason why is that, again, it's a little three-letter word, why these things are happening out there in the world and most also in the church. And the three-letter word is S-I-N, because of sin. These things are happening because of sin, and we are not taking heed, not being obedient to what God says. More and more, as time goes by, and it's going to get worse, people are not listening to God. They are listening to man. They are listening to man, or they're listening to a group of men, or they're listening to a group of man and woman, but they're not listening to God. There's a church that views church. I don't know what you call it, size of church. You can call, probably call it. I guess it could be a denomination. It's huge. That the word, they don't think that sin. They don't think homosexuality is a sin. I knew the last time I was here, I mentioned homosexuality. But homosexuality is a sin. It's a sin, and they don't want to say it's not a sin. So again, you got these people that you're probably meeting something like this. You get together and they're going to discuss whether homosexuality should be declared sin, or whether we should just keep it as it is, because right now they don't. But the church is splitting. The church is splitting because people know that homosexuality is a sin. And they want to keep, and they want to say it's not a sin. They want to say, again, because when you talk about homosexuality, you have to talk about gay marriage. You have to talk about men married to men or women married to women. And they want to say that there's nothing wrong with that. That if a man loves a man and a woman loves a woman, it's all right because of, again, L-O-V-E, because of love. It's because of love. They love each other. So why are you against homosexuality? Because the Bible is. My father says it's a sin. So why am I? Because of that. But they say, well, you're a Christian. You're supposed to love everybody. I do. Well, then you shouldn't judge me for what I am or for what I do. Now the Bible says I could. The Bible says I can judge you. You see, but you shouldn't be worrying about me judging you. You got to be worrying about him when he judges you. Because sin is going to be judged, you see. And you can't come and say, well, what about that four-letter word? What about love that we have one for another? One guy says, we don't need the Old Testament because the Old Testament is the Jewish book and it deals with the nation Israel. And the same guy say, we don't need all of the New Testament because all we need is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because of two things that he says. Because the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, whole, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we only need Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because they're what don't pretend to us. Now, again, this guy is smarter than me. He has better education than I. And I can find me. When I say me, I'm talking about Gentile and the Old Testament. They're Gentiles in the Old Testament. The strangers are the Gentiles. There's only two classes of people. And it's Jew or Gentile. And the strangers that the Bible talks about is the Gentile. You have people. And this is, again, this is in the church, churches. This is not the world, because we know the world. We know the world doesn't love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know the world does not love Christians. We know the world hates God. We know that because the world is influenced by their father. There's only two fathers. There's Father God, who is our Father, those of us who are in Christ. And the world father is that other guy that hates my Father. He's the Antichrist, better known as Satan. He is their father. And folks say, honey, he's not my father. If God's not your father, Satan is your father. Satan has influenced you, and he does, because God has given him power now, because he has he can influence the air, because he's a spiritual being. He needs a new body, so he can enter someone's body. That's why we say the person has the devil in him, because Satan has influenced that person. He has influenced people more and more today than ever. And the way he does it, he attacks the mind. He attacks what we see. You see, he attacks here, because I can look at something, I can hear something, and that's what Satan attacks. But the Bible says we shouldn't be worried about the things that we see. We shouldn't be worried about the things that we see, because why? The things that we see are temporal. They're not going to last forever. It's the things that are unseen that are eternal. You see, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you and I. We should be worried about God the King. He meant the person who are not saved. I like the word born again. Person who is not saved is not born again, but I like the word born again. Because Jesus Christ said you must be born again. You see, and you say, well, if the person is born again, they're saved. True. Because a lot of people say they're saved because they go to church. Folks say they're saved because their parents were saved. They was raised up in church. The question is, are they born again? You say, oh, yeah, I love God. But again, Jesus Christ says, you must be born again. There's something happened when you are born again. Just going around to say I'm saved because I be around Christians, I go to church on Sunday, Wednesday, or whatever, I don't cut it. You must, Jesus Christ says, you must be born again. And all of us in here, I'm sure those of us who are here who know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, verses of scripture that we know that we can share with someone in love. I'm not against L-O-V-E, love, showing people love, in love. But again, love cannot triumph this, the truth. This is the truth. Love can't triumph this. Truth has to triumph love. Witness of people in love, tell them about the Lord and Savior in love. But you got to tell them, you got to give them the truth. You got to let people know, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. You say, oh, you being harsh, you being mean. Because yeah. That's what the Bible says. But we're not listening. We don't want to tell people anymore that, listen, if you don't get saved, you're going to get born again, you're going to hell. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. We're not talking about physical death, we're talking about a spiritual death, being separated from God forever. In a place that some, again, Some people don't believe, again, this is in the church and outside the church, some people don't believe there's a hell. There's a hell. There's a hell. You got to remember, our God, he's love and all those things that people would know to say that they heard or maybe they read. They never say that God is holy and he is just, that he's going to judge. They don't say that. They say how loving he is, and he is, and he's good and all that, and he is. But God is holy, and he's just, and he has to, he must judge sin, and he does judge sin. That's why Christ said, you must be born again. You must be born again, because the wages of sin is death. You're going to die away from me. The Bible says, well, maybe we should turn, or I should turn, or we should turn to these verses. Romans, I'm going to get back to Hebrews chapter 12, but Romans, which is an excellent book, the whole Bible is, what I just said, I'm going to read it to you because of what I said, and if you got a Bible and you turn it there, you can read it for yourself, that I'm not making things up. The Bible said, for the wages, there's an earning there, for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a gift. Salvation is a free gift. We're not all God's children. We're all God's creation. We're not all going to heaven because you believe there's no hell. We're going to heaven because if you have put your faith and trust in what Christ did on the cross, the gift, salvation gift, it's free. It's free. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything for it. It's free, you see. It's free. And in Ephesians chapter 2, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, if you don't mind turning in your Bible, I like turning in my Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about God's grace and his free gift. Verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, for by grace we are saved by God's grace through faith. Faith, because it takes faith to believe that God is. It takes faith to believe that Jesus Christ died some 2,000 years ago. And it takes faith to believe that Jesus Christ rose again. So we are saved by the grace of God and the faith of God that God, he gives us. He gives us. You say, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourself, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's free. We didn't work for it. We didn't earn it. It's a free gift that God gives to those who comes to him. Who comes to him. He said he will cast no one out. He will not cast anyone out that comes to him. And you hear a lot, at least I hear a lot, people come up with, well, are those people in Borneo? Are those people in certain part of Africa? Are those people in certain part of the world who have never heard the name of Jesus? They never heard. What about those people? The Bible says everyone that's born, the creation tells them or shows to them that there's a God. And the Bible's God say, look, if you seek me, because the creation says there's a God, if you seek me, it's my responsibility. God said, now it's my responsibility to find you and to save you. It's not yours now, but you have to seek me. People can say, well, I don't know, those people way out yonder that never heard. Creation tells us that there's a God. But again, there's people who don't. Who don't believe God created everything. People don't believe Genesis 1 in the beginning. There's people believe, again, in a Big Bang Theory or that we came from the ocean or whatever. Why? You're not taking heed to the word of God. Look what's happening in our country, but look what's happening in the world. I mean, why do you think some of these things are happening? I'm not going to say directly, but why do you think some of these things are happening? 3 years ago, or last year, or year before last, there was this place that never got rain. Drought. Now they're getting so much. They got no place to put it. Rain and snow. After and after and after. And another one's coming. Why do you think these things are happening? Why do you think these things are happening? God is trying to tell us something. We're not listening. When I get to Hebrews, I get a little deeper. We're not listening. We're not taking heed to the word of God. We're not taking heed to the word of God. What's being? And I'm probably not telling you anything new. What's being presented in a lot of churches? A lot of churches. God always have a remnant. There's always people that is out there that believe in God. God always has a remnant. But there's churches that don't believe the Bible. They don't preach on sin. Because they don't want to make you feel bad. You see? Hey, if I preach on sin and someone feel bad, I didn't make them feel bad. It's the Holy Spirit working with them to make them feel bad. I ain't got no powers to make you do or feel any kind of way. Don't preach on sin because the world we live in is real, real bad and things are bad and people are in a bad situation. That's when they really need the word of God. See, they need the word of God. They need to know about sin. Now, seriously, you got people sitting in church that are not saved. They're not saved because they're not preaching. They're not preaching that you must be born again. They're not preaching what says the Lord. They're preaching, I want to make you feel good. I want to make you feel good. There's some. But like I said, God always have a remnant. God always have people who love this book, who love the Lord. God will always have people who are born again, who are saved, who do preach the word of God. Who do preach the word of God. Before we get to Hebrew again, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. We will get to Hebrew. Keep looking at the clock. We look at that owner. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'll tell you, this happened to me. 1980. This happened to me February of 1980. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That Sunday morning, I was created anew. I wasn't the same. I was not the same that Sunday morning when I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I was a new creature. A new creation. And I'm not going to hit this, but in here. I was different in here. It wasn't up here. You know, it had to go away. I had to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior before they reach up here. But I tell you what, it happened here, and I was a new creation. I was a new creature. Old things passed away. Bible says, behold, all things become new. I went back to church Sunday night. Hey, it was my second time in church. The Sunday morning I got saved, and the Sunday night I went back because I wanted more. Because something happened here, not just here. I just didn't hear about it or know about it. I was a new creation. Haven't been the same since. I'm not perfect, but I haven't been the same since. Being born again, being born anew in Christ Jesus. We're not going to go there, but because I'm going to tell you the reason why. That Sunday morning when Pastor Simpson, I called him my father in the Lord, preached the message on hell. And when he got done, I mean, the chairs that we had were those metal chairs, you know, and I had that chair like that there. And he said, now you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've got to come forward. Christ hung out there on the cross, naked in front of the whole world. And you can't walk in front of, come forward in front of these little people. Now, I got that tight. But I was scared. I wasn't scared of going forward. I was scared of going to hell. That Sunday morning, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I was a new creature. And I came back Sunday night. The next Sunday night. So why should I begin to grow up here so it become more down here? I began to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Bible said we need to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hell, because hell is real. The Bible says hell enlarged itself. Hell grew. And what? But hell wasn't created for human beings. It was only created for Satan and his angel. But hell grew because people were choosing to go there. And I tell people that. I understand was the in love and all that. I understand that. But I tell them, hey, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you die in the state that you're in, you're going to wind up in hell. I didn't use that word, but I say you're going to bust hell wide open. And it wasn't created for you. And you don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. It enlarged itself. It got bigger. And hell is getting bigger and bigger. Because why? People are choosing to go there. Because the choice is yours. The choice is mine. I made my choice. And I thank God. I thank God for the choice that I made. I thank God. Churches, again, though, there's another word that they don't preach. They don't preach. They don't like to preach on sin. They don't preach that you don't have to repent. You know, you ain't going to get saved if you don't repent. You see, I had to have a change of heart. I had to change of direction, the path that I was going on. It was taking me straight to hell. I had to have a change of direction, a change of mind. I had to turn and went this way, put my faith and trust in someone else, put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the path I was on was a path of destruction. And God saved me. God saved me. God take care of me up until the time that I got saved, because maybe he knew. February of 1980, that Harry Scriven will come. He will come to me. You know, he knew. I mean, I was in some places that could have been dead, or should have been dead. I went to Vietnam, in Vietnam twice. Went there, came home, went back. Back again. Could have been killed in Vietnam. I got saved 8 years after Vietnam. I was lost when I went to Vietnam. I was lost and undone. I have a pastor friend. He went to Vietnam. But he was saved when he went to Vietnam. Lost his right leg. Lost his right eye. And hearing in his right ear. spend like six months in Germany. And he was born again. He said, what kept him while he was laying up there? He said, Psalms 51. He said he read Psalm 51 over and over and over and over. His favorite psalm. See, there's other men that went to Vietnam that weren't saved. And I was one of them. And he's still serving the Lord today. He's older than I am. Matter of fact, he's fixing to get an award. He's older than me, and he's getting an award while he continues to do the work of the Lord. He's like a missionary. You know, he's continuing to do the work of the Lord. The Bible says we have to repent. Maybe the churches need to preach repentance. You see. You don't have to turn there, but I'm gonna go to Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 8. Jeremiah 18, chapter 8. Now, if God will repent, not because he did something wrong. As we read, God doesn't do anything wrong. So I'm going to read the verse so that Jeremiah 18:8. God said, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. God repented of the evil. The Nineveh, like they glad God repented. The Assyrian, and Nineveh, they sure enough glad God repented of the evil. And you and I don't think we have to repent, put our faith and trust in that God. That's who we need to put our faith and trust in. He repented. For you and I, we need repentant. You know, we use this verse, especially a lot of time when we pray, we use this verse. That I'm going to read. I ain't going to tell y'all where it's at. I'm going to read because y'all know what it is. So I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to start reading, and you're going to know where it's at, because God is again talking to His people. Because I believe this is me. I believe that the reason why the world is in a mess like it is, I understand world folks are not saved, but it's our fault. It's the church's fault. See, when this country was founded on biblical principle. And God blessed this country. I mean, things just overflow. When things overflow, those people that don't know God, they get blessed. They don't even know God, but yet they get blessed because of the overflow. And something happened between then and especially today, changing. I'm not going to read that verse yet. But people want us, again, a preacher said that, church, you need to catch up. You need to catch up with the world. See, the culture that we're living in, he says, you're behind. This preacher now, this is supposed to be a man of God saying that the churches need to catch up with the world because the culture in the world is, I'm telling you, evil and it's wicked. There's nothing good about the culture in the world. It's evil and it's wicked. And he is saying we need to catch up with the culture of this world because of this time. One preacher was bold enough to say, and my wife always called me that I'm a critic, and I am. This preacher was bold enough to say, and I'm seriously, he said it. I looked down his throat when he said it.
He said, God did not see today. This is God did not see what's going on in the world today. God did not see today. Preacher. And then he said, Jesus Christ, hey, that was 2,000 years ago. He did not know. He did not see this was going on in this world today. I said, boy, if I was there, they probably would have locked me up, but I would have smacked him. I would have smacked him. Telling me, and he made another statement. He made three statements. And I said, you know what? Maybe one of them might be right. I said, maybe one of them would be right. Because then he said, the Apostle Paul, he said, he don't know nothing about today. He didn't see today. He didn't know nothing about today. I said, hey, God said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I know this. I know A and I know X, Y, and Z. God doesn't know what we are going on today, that we are acting evil and wickeder, if there's such a word. The evil and the wicked. People are evil and wicked today. God knows that. God knows that. God sees that. He has seen that. And God said, maybe I have to shake things up before we get to this verse that we all know. I said, maybe I need to shake things up. And God does shake things up. I mean, hey, because he shake things up before. Hebrews chapter 12. You can put Hebrews chapter 12 up there now. God shake things up before. Verse 25. Are you going to read down to verse 29? The Bible says, see, again, that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that speak on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. Once more means that it happened before. He shook the earth, heavens before. He said, yet once more, I shook the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, which cannot be shaken, those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Cannot be moved. If you're in Christ, you ain't going to be moved. He said, let us have grace whereby we would serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. There's no reverence of God today. There's no godly fear of God today. Because people say, well, I did this, I said this, and I looked around and no lightning came down and struck me. No reverence. No godly fear. You need to understand the last verse. For God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. See, God wants us to reverence him and have a godly fear of him. Not afraid, but a godly fear of him. verse I'm going to close with. Again, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to start reading it. The Bible says, if I say the first verse, I know what you're talking about. But the Bible says, again, if my people, he's talking about if my people, he didn't talk about the people out there in the world. He said, if my people, which were called by my name, those of us who are in Christ, we are called by his name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then, he says, then will I hear from heaven. If we, not those people outside, if we, you see, then he will hear from heaven. Then he will forgive their sins and will heal the land. The land's in a mess. The land needs healing. Man can't heal the land, even though he might try. They can't heal the land. Only God can. God says that my people, though. See, my people. And it seems like, again, I can't look inside a person's heart to see whether they're born again. Churches are, church is a mess. Because why? They're not taking heed to what God is saying. They are taking heed to the culture. This is 2023. And one guy said, God did not know. Jesus did not know. Paul did not know. I said, well, Paul might not have known, but, and I think he did, but I wasn't sure. But I want two things I was sure. God knew. Jesus Christ knew. Church has to catch up with that. With what's going on out here? No. Nah. See, the problem is you're a sinner. You need a Savior. You want to disregard that word sin. You want to call sin sin anymore. Sin can always be sin. See, I can't help a group of people get together and have a discussion and say, well, we're not going to call this sin anymore. Sin is still sin. And that's happening. And it's happening again. In the churches. It's not happening in the world. People are getting together discussing what they should do about sin. Should we call it sin or not? You know, maybe we should just regard it. God says sin is sin. And then I'm going to close. I think you say, man, you listen to a lot of preachers. This preacher said, I mean, you got to see where people is at and see where they're coming from. I mean, people who call themselves Christian, again, doesn't necessarily mean that's who they are, but that's who they call themselves. They call themselves Christian until you stand before them, sit before them, and you open up your mouth. And this book doesn't mean anything to them. The Word of God doesn't mean anything to them. They got something new. They done take this word of God and they done twist it, they done change it. Sin is always going to be sin. Man can say what they want to say. And man is saying. People are flocking to it. People are flocking to man. Staying away. They're staying away from the truth. Famous line in a movie. You can't handle the truth. You want to know the truth? You can't handle the truth. The people need the truth of the gospel. That's what's going to change life. Because, again, I didn't mention it earlier. I didn't mention it at all. I mentioned about how the world is home is in a mess. Home is in a mess. School is in a mess. The home is so big of a mess that they want the school to try to smooth things out for them. That's their responsibility for their kids. In a mess. And wind up where the police, you wind up doing wrong. A lot of things that teenagers are doing. Teenagers, you wonder, where's mom and dad? Or where's mom? Or where's dad? They need the truth. They need the Bible. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Father, for this opportunity you allow me to say, thus saith the Lord. Father, I thank you, Father, for your word. Father, again, your word is true. Father, it is your word that changes people, because it was your word that changed me. And so, Father, I'm always going to thank you, Father, for your word. I love your word, Father. I wouldn't know what I would do if I didn't have your word. So I thank you. Thank you again for these folks who decided to come out and hear, thus saith the Lord. I pray, Father, that as we leave this place, some of us might have to go far, Lord, and we must go in near. Father, is not guaranteed. So, Father, we pray for travel and mercy to our abode. And this I say and ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.